Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Episode 13 of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017. My name is Luke Shipway, and I'm your host for today's podcast. Round 13, put it in your calendar. Mark this round down, East Fremantle fans. You've just won your first game of the year, round 13. They were able to defeat Perth on Saturday in a comfortable victory, so well done to East Fremantle on that one. And South Fremantle, they've consolidated second spot on the ladder. Claremont made it consecutive victories after a six-game losing streak before their bye. And, geez, Subiaco, is anyone going to be able to stop them this year? 11 straight they've won. They dropped the first match of the year, and then they've won every single match since. 11 straight, so very good job there from Subiaco, and it looks like they'll lock away top spot with a couple wins in the next few rounds, and that'll be top spot for them on the ladder. I'll be chatting to Claremont defender Harrison McCracken later on in the show, and just to get his feel on what's kind of changed around Claremont these last couple of matches after the six-game losing streak. Was it the bye? Is it the opening of or reopening of the Claremont Oval? I'll chat to him a bit later on in the podcast and get his feel on that, and obviously go over all the results in round 13 in the Waffle.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Starting with the Claremont vs Swan Districts matchup on Saturday, Claremont continued to enjoy its return to the redeveloped Claremont Oval with a 67-point victory over Swan Districts on Saturday. The final score was 16-14-110 for Claremont to 6-7-43 for Swan Districts. They made it consecutive wins now, so that's two wins on the trot since reopening Claremont Oval. They must be feeling good playing at their new home ground. They defeated the 5th place Swan Districts, and it improves Claremont to a 5-6 record on the season, just one game out of 4th position, while Swan Districts is just clinging to 5th spot, having now lost 4 of its past 5 matches. Claremont's forward line was working well. Bo Master standing tall to kick 4 goals from 11 kicks, while Chris Oakley also kicked 4 majors. Ian Richardson didn't hit the scoreboard, but he provided a strong leading target from half forward with 23 disposals, 8 marks and 9 inside 50s. Zach Langdon returned to the league side after a nasty concussion way back in round 5. He finished with 15 touches, 5 tackles, 5 inside 50s and a goal. And reigning Sandover medalist Jai Bolton had a day. He got a bit of leather poisoning out there for Bolton. 37 possessions, 8 marks, 7 inside 50s, and a goal. He was complimented through the midfield by Bailey Banfield, who gathered 28 touches and 7 tackles. Ryan Lim at 23, Jared Hardesty at 21, Tom Ledger 21 as well, and Harry McCracken 20, who's our guest on the podcast later on. Despite the loss, there was a few shining lights for Swan Districts on the weekend. Todd Banfield kicked 2 of Swan District's 6 goals for the afternoon to go with his 10 possessions and 5 tackles. Matt Riggio brought up his 150th game with Swan Districts to earn life membership at the club. He worked hard again in the midfield, did Riggio, for 18 disposals. Adam Faulkner racked up another 26, while Warwick Wilson was particularly impressive with 25 touches and 5 entries into the forward 50. Corey Galt did well in the ruck, opposed to state team member Mitch Andrews, to end up with 16 touches, 7 marks and 21 hitouts. Former AFL player David Ellard also had 19 touches and 10 tackles. Claremont could take a spot in the top 5 with another win at Claremont Oval against West Perth this Saturday. You might be asking, why do they have so many games at Claremont Oval? But they didn't actually play any home games in the first part of the year, so they're catching up on all their home games now, and that should be a big advantage for the Tigers down the track. And Swan Districts, they need a win badly, and they're going to play East Perth on Saturday at Steel Blue Oval, and hopefully they can have a win to avoid slipping out of the top 5 themselves. Episode 13 of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017. I'm now joined by Claremont defender Harry McCracken. Harry, thanks for taking time out of your Monday and having a chat to me.
No worries, Luke. Glad to be here.
Good win for the Tigers on the weekend. 2 in a row now at the the new reopening of the Claremont Oval. Must be a good feeling to not only get the two wins on the board, but also be back at home and playing some footy where you have a true home ground.
Yeah, no, it's real good. We've been looking out for it for like a while now, so been a few years in the making, but no, everyone's real glad and settling into a new home. And obviously put up a couple of good performances.
So, yeah, saying that, before these last couple of wins, you had a six-game losing streak, and then we had the state game bye, and then you had your regular bye after the state game. So, yeah, 2 weeks off there for Claremont. How important were those 2 weeks in kind of regrouping and getting ready for, you know, the second half of the year?
Yeah, no, it was real key because we thought we'd losing six in a row, everyone's sort of morale was real down and sort of needed a bit of like confidence boost to get back into the swing of things. So it was good to come back against East Freo, and we just managed to sneak them over the line. And then obviously on the weekend we played a real good game against Swans and gave them a good win.
Would you classify your win on the weekend against Swan Districts as one of your better performances overall as the team?
Yeah, well, the coach was saying after the game, Harry was saying it's the second game, he reckons, for the season where we've played like a four-quarter effort. So it's been like a big trouble of ours where we just slack off for a quarter or let them get a run on, which like ends up hurting us. But on the weekend, yeah, it was one of our best games of the season so far.
Personally, for yourself, you had 20 possessions on the weekend, so a handy game by you. And you've been injured a little bit early in the year, played, I think, one or two games in the reserves. How are you seeing your form in league footy? It's only, I mean, your second year kind of playing league footy. How are you seeing your form?
Yeah, not too bad. Just going along from what the coaches are saying to me. Still improving my game, trying to get more composure and still trying to get more run out of my game, trying to take them on, but no, it's been good this season. Well, had the shins, had a bit of shin soreness earlier on in the season, but now it's all come good. The double bye break helped a lot as well. And yeah, now it's going well.
Looking ahead to this week against West Perth, what do you think are going to be the keys in that game to get you guys over the line against the Falcons?
It's just going to be our pressure again from the weekend. If we carry on like our pressure intensity around the ball and try and force them to turn it over as much as we can and put the foot on the throat, really. Like, main thing was about selfless footy, and on the weekend we started playing selfless footy, and that's sort of the outcome we got from it.
Harry McCracken, Claremont defender, and after two wins on the board in the last 2 weeks for the Tigers, they'll be looking for another victory this weekend against the Falcons. Thanks, Harry.
Cheers, Luke. Thanks for that.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Round 13, the shining moment of the season so far for the East Fremantle Sharks. They were able to defeat the Perth Demons by 58 points on Saturday, thanks in part to a 14-goal-to-2 domination in the second half. The final score was 19-17, 131 to 11-7, 73. The win snaps a 12-game losing run for East Fremantle. Their first win since round 21 last year, which also happened to be against Perth, and their first home victory since round 9 last year, which was also against the Demons. It puts them only one game behind Perth at the bottom of the ladder, so they're currently still wooden spooners, the Sharks, but they're only one game behind the Demons. And it was the next generation that really stood out for the Sharks. Corey Holmes in his fifth game at 28 possessions, 9 marks, 6 in 5 inside 50s and a goal, while second gamer Ben Harding was another one that impressed with 23 touches, and another second gamer, Matthew Burton, had 19, 5 tackles and 2 goals. So very impressive performance by the youngsters there for the Sharks, but Matthew Watson was the best ruckman on the ground with 16 touches and 52 hitouts. There was much to like from Perth in the first half. As I said, it was the second half that really killed the Demons, and Captain Clint Jones continues doing what he does in the Waffle, 31 touches and 7 tackles for him. While Mitch Brown played the best game of his career, arguably, 30 touches, 8 tackles and 5 marks. Former Sandover medalist Aidan Tropiano had 20 touches and 10 tackles against his former side. As I mentioned before, it was the 14-goal-to-2 second half for the Sharks that got them over the line against the Demons. And a couple of recruits that they got this season that helped them helped them win on the weekend. Nathan Fahey, who was recruited from Peel, and Jesse Murko, who was recruited from South Fremantle. They were recruited to provide some key forward targets, and they did that on the weekend. Fahey finished with 20 touches, 5 marks and 3 goals, while Murko had 17 touches, 9 marks, and he also had 3 goals in a comfortable win for East Fremantle and their first for season 2017. It was the battle for Leaderville Oval on the weekend between East Perth and Subiaco. Both the clubs have Leaderville Oval as their home ground, and East Perth got ahead early, and it was looking like that they were going to beat Subiaco and break their winning streak, but Subiaco were too good in the second half, and they were able to win by 32 points to record their 11th straight victory. They were able to defeat East Perth 14-14-98 to 10-6-66. Means Subiaco has now won 11 straight matches since losing in round one to South Fremantle. Sees the Lions remain 3 games clear on top of the Waffle ladder and on target for their third straight minor premiership. And, geez, they chased their 4th consecutive grand final appearance. So it's been a few years now where Subiaco have been the form side in the West Australian Football League. East Perth had been in good form, and the loss was a first for them since going down to Subiaco on Good Friday. The Royals missed their chance to enter the top 5 as a result, and they slipped to 7th position with a 5-6 record after Claremont coming off back-to-back wins. For Subiaco, exciting forward Liam Ryan, we've been saying it all year. He's extended his Bernie Naylor medal race for the leading goal kicker in the West Australian Football League. He kicked 4 goals on the weekend from 9 kicks and 6 marks. He got plenty of help in attack with Ben Sokol kicking 3 goals from 13 possessions and 8 marks, while Clancy Wheeler added 3 majors for himself with 16 touches and 10 marks. Lachlan Delahunty, the state team member, he was a dominant presence in the ruck, particularly once the ball hit the ground. He's a very mobile ruckman, Delahunty. He finished with 25 touches, 9 marks, 5 tackles and 18 hitouts. Carl Horsley, the captain for the Subiaco Lions, was terrific again with 26 touches, 6 tackles and 5 marks. Adam Cockey continued to build his form after a slow start. He had 21 touches, while Jordan Lockyer was strong again down back, playing a key defender role for the Lions. For East Perth, Josh Hill, the dropped eagle, kicked 2 goals, as well as Will McGuinness. He also kicked 2. The Royals had some good ball winners through the middle, led by 28 touches from Chris Marston and 26 from Jack Redden. But Marston had just 1 mark and 1 tackle to go with his disposals. Jonathan Giles, another eagle-listed player, he battled hard in the ruck for East Perth to end up with 15 touches, 6 marks and 35 hitouts. Malcolm Carpenny, he made his debut for the Eagles a few weeks ago. He was lively at half forward for the Royals with 16 touches, 8 marks and a goal. As I said previously, East Perth had gotten off to the good start at the beginning of this match. They had a 12-point advantage at halftime, but after halftime, the Subiaco kicked away. Liam Ryan kicked the first 2 goals of the second half to put Subiaco in front. Brad Stevenson kicked his only major of the day soon after that, and by the time Ryan had kicked his 3rd at the 20-minute mark of the quarter, the Lions had all the momentum. They held East Perth to just 2 points for the third term, and when Wheeler kicked truly shortly before 3-quarter time, Subiaco had turned the 2-goal deficit into a 3-goal advantage at 3-quarter time. Another 5 goals to 3 in the last quarter from Subiaco, and the league leaders, they cruised to the 32-point victory over the Royals, and as I said before, their 11th consecutive victory since that round 1 loss. Now on to the South Fremantle versus West Perth clash that was played on Saturday, and South Fremantle have continued its recent dominance over West Perth and its good form at West Perth's home ground, HBF Arena, to come away with a 47-point victory over the Falcons on the weekend, and they've now consolidated their second position on the Waffle ladder. The final score was 16-15-111 to 10-4-64. The Bulldogs came into the clash with the Falcons having lost 3 of their last 4 matches to only be clinging to second position after a very strong start to the season. And the spot was on the line with West Perth looking, if they had won, they would have leapfrogged South Fremantle on the ladder, but South Fremantle were too good on Saturday to improve to an 8-4 record on the season. South Fremantle are 5-0 in their last 5 games against West Perth. Despite the loss, West Perth remains a game clear in third position and still have a game in hand on the top 2 teams. So Not over yet. That top three positioning in the waffle ladder. Dylan Mayne and Hayden Schloyth put in brilliant performances for South Fremantle on the weekend. Both midfielders finished the game with 30 touches and 4 goals. Schloyth had 9 marks, while Mayne had 5 tackles and 4 entries inside 50. Tim Kelly, another South Fremantle superstar, racked up another 30 touches as well to go with 8 inside 50s. Brock Higgins, the dominant ruckman on the day for the two teams. He had 17 touches, 6 marks and 40 hitouts. Corey DeLolio, Blaine Johnson and Mason Shaw chipped in with 2 goals apiece for the Bulldogs. West Perth's defenders did reasonably well against South Fremantle's dangerous forwards, considering the Bulldogs had 64 inside 50s entries. Ben King did well in limiting Ben Saunders to just 1 goal and 7 kicks, while Mark Hamilton did well on Mason Shaw while having 16 possessions himself. West Perth's forward didn't have many opportunities on Saturday, with only 32 inside 50s entries. But Tyler Keedle did well to kick another 4 goals from 18 possessions and 8 marks. Nick Rodder also kicked 2 goals for the Falcons after going forward in the second half. A couple of ball magnets for the West Perth Falcons still racked up their disposal numbers despite the loss. Aaron Black had 30 touches, while Shane Nelson had 33, along with Luke Meadows, who had 32.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Looking ahead to round 14 in the Waffle, we're going to do some tips here. It's just me here today, so I'll just do my tips and we'll leave the regular Poppy's Picks or Tash's Tips tipping segment to another week when we got a couple more people in the studio with me. Claremont and West Perth on the Saturday at 2:15 at Claremont Oval. I'm going to tip Claremont over West Perth. I think Claremont will be able to have another win at the newly reopened Claremont Oval, and that they should continue their streak with the third consecutive win over West Perth is my tip. Peel against East Fremantle at East Fremantle Oval. I'm going to have to tip Peel, even though East Fremantle will perform well on the weekend to get their first win. I will back Peel and their Dockers personnel there to get over the Sharks. Swan Districts versus East Perth at Steel Blue Oval. I'm going to go with East Perth here. Despite the loss to Subiaco, East Perth had been in good form, and Swan Districts were not very impressive against Claremont on the weekend, so I'm going to go for East Perth. And the match on Sunday, South Fremantle versus the Perth Demons at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. I'm going to go for the Bulldogs there for that one. Looking at the ladder at the end of round 13, Subiaco are 3 games atop in first position there in the Waffle, looking to get another minor premiership for the Lions. South Fremantle sit 1 game clear in second spot, West Perth in third, Peel in fourth, Swan Districts in fifth, Claremont in sixth, East Perth in seventh, Perth in 8th, and East Fremantle. They notched their first win on the weekend, but they're still at the bottom of the ladder. Hopefully they can get a couple more wins this season and maybe leapfrog Perth and get off that bottom of the ladder for the Sharks. Once again, just going to repeat those matches for round 14 in the Waffle. On Saturday, 2:15 at Claremont Oval, Claremont versus West Perth. 2:15 at East Fremantle on the Saturday as well, East Fremantle versus Peel. And also the final game on the Saturday, Swan Districts versus East Perth at Steel Blue Oval at 2:15 also. And then the Sunday match for 25th of June is South Fremantle versus Perth at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, and that match is set to start at 2:10 p.m. That's the end of episode 13 of the Monday Waffle Podcast for season 2017. My name's Luke Shipway, and make sure you tune in next Monday for episode 14 of the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.